Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Paul Rauschenbusch. My guest is Augsburg University's Executive Director of Interfaith, Professor Najiba Seed. Maybe you can say a little bit, by way of introduction, what happens in Ramadan. I think more and more Americans, are beginning to understand that Ramadan is a time, and maybe there's some fasting, maybe there's some praying going on. But what's the spiritual opportunities as you see them for Muslim communities during the month of Ramadan, and how might the broader interfaith and American community learn from that time and also be supportive?
Absolutely. I think those are really good questions. And I think a lot of times when we talk about Ramadan, we talk about the things people can't do. And I think it's helpful to also think about the affirmative duties or practices that also happen in Ramadan. So at the very basic level, before the sun rises, there is the pre-dawn meal. It's called suhoor. And Muslims, depending on their cultural background, my parents would have a full kind of meal. Other people will have a cup of coffee. It just depends. Different cultures. There's a new practice that has kind of emerged in the U.S. among some of my kids, and I will do like suhoor at IHOP. So apparently there's some IHOPs. I heard, I don't know in which part of the country, that understood, oh, Muslims love, for some reason in this month, they come in and eat at whatever the before sunrise time is at 3 a.m. So we'll eat together before the sunrise. And then there's no eating or drinking of any kind, including water. We all want to make a t-shirt that says even water. And then at sunset, then we break our fast for that day, and then we are able to eat and drink. So in a lot of Muslim majority countries, you'll see the kind of culture of this month shifts to the evening. So people are kind of eating and engaging and socializing a lot in the evening. So that's at a very basic level of ritual. But embedded in that is also what Prophet Muhammad tells us, which is this is also a time that we're supposed to fast from anger, fast from mocking people, fast from any kind of negative social behavior. It's also a month that emphasizes forgiveness. Many of us in the beginning of Ramadan, before Ramadan comes, will seek out someone that we've harmed and ask for forgiveness and open up that door. Because we don't want, I'll often tell people it's a behavioral modification month. We want to walk into this month, the doors open with an ability to regenerate our spiritual batteries. So even though we're not eating, the part of not eating isn't as much just deprivation, but it's also to focus the energy on a spiritual component in life. There are many other opportunities for prayer in Ramadan, particularly in the last 10 days. Every evening, there is a prayer that is not obligatory, but many there are five obligatory prayers for those who observe them. And then there's another communal prayer very often where people will gather in the mosque, Taraweeh prayer in the evening. And it will go late into the night, often depending on how you practice it and where you practice it. And then, so imagining that you're, in addition to not eating, you're often staying up later and doing these communal prayers. And then most mosques will cover 1/30 of the Quran, since it's 30 days, and then do some form of teaching. So in the mosque, in different mosques, I will do that teaching in the evenings. So you're often staying up late and praying and then waking up early in the morning before prayer time to eat. So it is a time where we sleep less as well. And I think the most beautiful thing about it really is, I would say, the emphasis on building our social fabric with one another, gathering and thinking about, well, what is the power of self-regulation and self-control? So self-control over food, but also our capacity to to not express anger. So I remember I used to write about this month with my kids, and they're like, "Mommy," when they're little, now they're 14 and 16, they would say, "Mommy, you're not allowed to yell at me in Ramadan." And I remember noting that in Ramadan, the volume of our house would go down with a 4 and a 6 year old. Surprisingly, we would all kind of dial it back. And I also just want to, you know, let people make it clear to folks too. There are many exceptions. If you're pregnant or nursing, then you don't have to fast. People who are taking medications for, you know, to protect their life don't have to fast. You'll notice very elderly people may not fast because it's debilitating. So the fast is not meant to be something that is done by people who have barriers to it. And we don't look down on someone if they can't. Like if someone has an exception, that's called a mercy from God. Like you understand that.
Right.
And the final emphasis is, for instance, if you can't fast or throughout the month, is really, frankly, redistribution of wealth. This is a month where if you, for instance, can't fast and you feed someone, there are special charities. So you'll see in Ramadan, there's a lot of openness for and push really to give. And it also comes from that place of one of the reasons to have an empty stomach is to understand what it means to have an empty stomach for those who don't have that as a regular feature in their life.
Yeah. I think that's so beautiful. And just talking about like I can't remember what the exact term you said. It was like the kind of the richness and the offering of faith, in some ways, like what you had a better term for it, but it was these are ways of really focusing on what matter. Like, it seems like it's a way of like kind of, and in their own way, the tradition of Yom Kippur or Lent, you know, you kind of like you take a time and say like, what, not only what am I fasting from, but what do I fast to? And what do I really want to be focused on? What really matters in our world? And all the things you mentioned, you know, that it's really, we need to take another break, but up next, more with Najiba Saeed. If you miss any part of today's program, you can hear full episodes of State of Belief anytime on our website. You'll also find links to the topics we discussed this week, extended interviews and transcripts, and an archive of past shows, all on stateofbelief.com. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, where religion and democracy meet.